I would start here in the 13th chapter of Romans, beginning on verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is nigh time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And this is very true here. Our salvation is rather near. It's as far away as we want it in some respects. But we should awake out of our sleep or our slumber that we sometimes along the way we fall into. Little in Matthew there speaks of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, speaking of the Lord's people here. Five were wise and five were foolish, but it says they all slumbered and slept. And we should be rather careful here that we don't sleep too long, for we may wake up too late. Knowing the time, that it is now time to awake out of sleep. And this is what we should be, is very awake to the happenings of the things that are around us and to what the Lord would have us to do. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. This armor of light will direct us, will lead us to Christ if we will put it on. We have the opportunity available to us as no other people really have it. All people have the opportunity, but all people will not. And even within our midst, there will be those that will slumber in sleep and pass by many good things. Let us walk honestly as in the day, for we know that in the daytime you can see where you're going, what you're doing. If there's obstacles in your path, you can go around them. But you take at nighttime, you're not able to see these things. If you're out in the dark and walking in the path at night, there's a stick or something laying across that path that you're walking on, you don't see it, you're going to take a mean little fall. You can't see where you're going. So this is why we should walk in the daytime, why we have that light. And this life that we have here is that daytime. After nighttime comes, we no longer have any more time then. Let us walk honestly. And so this is the way that we should walk in this life, honestly, with all people, and especially with our Lord our God. We should walk honestly one with another, for we are supposed to be brothers and sisters of the household of God. And if we can't walk honestly with one another, then we can be assured that we're not walking honestly with Christ. That is a fact. You cannot have animosity, hatred, dislike for your brothers and sisters and say you love Christ. Yes, you can say it, but it has a hollowness to it. So we must walk honestly in this day of life. We should have that love and kindness in our hearts, and we should have the desire to follow after Jesus. Not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife and envying. These are the things that we should not do. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what we should do. We do that by keeping his commandments and being a light upon a hill as he has commanded us to be. And make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When we have set our desires on the things of the world. We misplace our priorities many times. I don't say it's not all right to have many of the riches of the world. Jesus said to his people, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then these other things shall be added to you." But if you don't seek him first, and you seek the riches of the world, things don't always work out along the way like we kind of plan them to be sometimes. I honestly believe he that will seek first the kingdom of heaven, the Lord will bless that fellow. I will quote here from Romans on the 8th chapter, the 28th verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Let me run that by you again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To those that love God, they will keep his precepts, his commandments. They will have that love, that second great commandment that he said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the first one will be kept, as it says, if you love God. The others will be kept as well. For I don't think that you can love your Lord God, as it says, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't think you can do one and not the other, or vice versa. I think the two of them must go together. To them who are called according to his purpose. So we can see, to those that love God, things work together for good to them. And I'm well satisfied this is so. We can look into the scriptures and bring many of them out. I won't. But they are there. Those that have followed the ways of the Lord and have kept his commandments have been blessed. I don't say they didn't have hardships or trials or some tribulations along the way, but the Lord made the way available to escape the snares of the adversary that was there. So we do have to be rather careful and put our priorities where they should be. In Ecclesiastics here, second chapter, 9th verse, it lists here, it's not sure who the author of this book, but they give it as Solomon, and I think that is correct from what it says. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remaineth with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. Now we can only look and we can see the splendor and the things that Solomon had. I don't know that there was a king since then or before him that was blessed mighty like he was. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. We can see many times when people sometimes lose sight of what they should be following. They take a little curve in the road, not realizing that the road has veered off from that straight path that they were in. It's easy to do it when we begin to set our hearts upon the things of the world. I don't know that it's all evil to set our hearts on some things in the world, but we should have our heart set first upon Christ. These other things will be added along the way. Solomon did set his heart upon the Lord, and these other things were added to him. But he allowed his eyes to wander from that sight that he had set. And we should take the scriptures that are here before us, see what he done, and not follow in the same footsteps. Now, I don't mean necessarily that the riches, he had some and they led him away, but there were other things there as well. We in our life and walk today can do the same thing, and it may not be necessarily the riches of the world that was always there. It may be some other desire that we follow after that we shouldn't. If we will but keep the commandments that the Lord has commanded us to do, we will not let them things take a first priority in our life. On page 209 here, on verse 24, I would like to read here some. We can see here that, well, let me read. And also the sword of Laban, and the ball or director, which led our fathers through the wilderness, which were prepared by the hand of the Lord, that thereby they might be led, every one according to the heed and diligence which they gave unto him. We have a typical example, many of them here in the scriptures, of the people when they let other things take a limelight in their life that they shouldn't. Human nature is kind of odd in its ways. It doesn't change down through the centuries. It just got different characters up on the scene at different times. Sad as it is, we don't always learn the lessons that are there before us. We have to kind of wander along and stumble and fall, and we don't always read and use the wisdom that we should. Therefore, as they were unfaithful, they did not prosper nor progress in their journey, but were driven back and incurred the displeasure of God upon them. Now, we can see here what takes place when a people or a person or individuals, whether they be man or female, it doesn't matter, when we don't follow what the Lord has given, then we suffer hardships along the way. Things just seem to go bad to worse. Don't know quite what the matter is. We just run into problems and we wonder about it. Well, this is why. We don't give the heed and diligence unto the things of God that we should. So, he said, if you want this, that's all right, you can have it. I don't care that you do it, but I won't necessarily stop you. So he sometimes lets some hardships come along to try to humble us, to bring us back into that straight path and follow him as he would have us to do. And therefore, they were smitten with famine and sore affliction to stir them up in remembrance of the duty. And yet, here we have, we know, faithful Nephi leading them through there in Lehi, We have the scriptures here we can read of the trials and the tribulations they had and why some of them come along. They didn't always follow the Lord as they should. They were there and they sometimes tarried, as we sometimes tarry along the way. It makes me think, when I say tarry there, that somebody related a dream that somebody had had. I had forgot all about it. No names mentioned, but it can be a very typical situation that can befall about anybody here. And in this dream, this person related that Jesus knocked on the door. And the person answered and said, "Well, I'm not ready yet. Got things of the world to do. I got many things." So he went on about his work. A little later, Jesus knocked again. Says, "Are you ready?" "No, he wasn't quite ready yet." And the third time, Jesus knocked. So the individual thought about it. Thought, "Well, I ought to go." Well, when he went to the door and opened it up, Jesus had gone. You know, we shouldn't be like this in our ways of life. The Lord has called. Are we going to be true to our calling? Or are we going to say, "Well, Lord, I don't want to bother"? We should think about them. I want to go back here on page 50 and read some more about this here direction that they had on page 50. On verse 32, "And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord said unto him, Look upon the ball and behold the things which are written." Now, for your information, if you don't quite recall where they're at here in the story here, this is when they get up in the morning and there in the tent door, here is this ball and director, this curious object. And the Lord is giving them guidance. "And it came to pass that when my father beheld the things which were written upon the ball," see, they also could, it not only had apparently a spindle in there like our compasses do today, it also give admonition, writing on it. And if they was faithful to it, they could receive the instructions that they needed. I would say it very similar to the Urim and Thummim for receiving instructions and the will of the Lord. "For behold, the things which were written upon the ball, he did fear and tremble exceeding, and also my brethren, and the sons of Ishmael, and our wives." I would imagine that would have been quite an experience right there to see that, and see the hand of the Lord in his marvelous way working here with these people. "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the pointers which were in the ball. And they did work according to the faith and diligence and heed which we did give unto them." We can have this here same pointer working for us as well as it was for them, by the same diligence that we give to the Lord in following his commandments. We don't follow them and keep that pointer always heading for Jesus and within in that love and within our hearts as we should, then we do not know where sometimes there comes a little curve in the road and we walk away on that curve. And we sometimes, when we do, we get into strange lands. And sometimes we get there, we don't know quite how to get back. "And there was also written upon them a new writing, which was plain to be read, which did give us understanding concerning the ways of the Lord. And it was written and changed from time to time according to the faith and diligence which he gave unto them. The Jaredites also, the brother Jared, you know, they also run into problems when they were being let out of the land where they was at, over on the old continent. They as well didn't always give the heed to the Lord that they should. And they ran into problems as well. In the early days of our restoration, when the Lord in his kindness and mercy was restoring, or going about restoring the gospel again, he instructed a young fellow by the name of Joseph where some records were at. The first time or two he went to get them, he was not allowed to pick up those things. I believe the third time he reached in there and picked them up and did take them out. There was more than one object that he didn't get. But there he thought in his heart, well, maybe there's something else there that will be good to get. So he set down the records there beside him and reached in there to get something else. Well, when he turned around, that record that he had taken out of that coffin, we'll call it a coffin, it was gone. He didn't know where it had gone, what had happened. And then he prayed to the Lord, and the angel appeared to him again and told him why he had lost it. He says, you're not keeping the commandments. It's very easy to be distracted and lose that which we should. Here, Joseph was distracted just a little bit, and yet he lost those records. The angel told him where it was at, and so he looked back in the box, and sure enough, there they were. He reached in, supposing he could have them, and reached in to get them, and, well, the power of the Lord knocked him away, and he wasn't able to get them at that time. He did pick them up a year later. But nevertheless, he picked them up, he took them home, and he had a means here. Well, it wasn't a ball and director, but he had a means of translating those things. And as his mother related, that I will refer to it in a way as the Urim and Thummim, because I think it's the same thing. And she related that this was two smooth, three-cornered diamonds set in glasses. Or not glasses, but in glass. And the glasses were set in silver bows, which were connected at each end. And she says, much in the same way as old spectacles were put together. This is the means that Joseph used. In David Whitmer's book, he refers to, as he calls it there, the seer stone. But if you will look back under his notes, and go back and look in the Old Testament of the Bible, the seer stone he refers to as the Urim and Thummim. There is another witness also of this here, and Martin Harris is this one. He's one of the three witnesses to the Book of Mormon. He gives the description of that Urim and Thummim, as I refer to, as giant silver spectacles. That's what Martin Harris referred to them. He said that Joseph placed that in a hat, so that it would exclude a little bit of the light around so that he could read. But the Lord makes known to the people those things if they will but give heed and diligence to that which he should. We have, our Book of Mormon here that was brought forth in our latter days and times, these records, they are for our guidance. We have an advantage over the world as a whole because we know this Book of Mormon to be true. I do have a testimony of the Book of Mormon in the Bible. The Lord did show me in a dream that they were true. I don't know that everybody has received that. Some, I'm sure, has not, and I'm sure that there is many that have, in different ways, received the testimony of the trueness of the Book of Mormon. And if we follow this Book of Mormon, the Bible, and use them as our guide, as we should, then all will be well. But if along the way we let that light dim in our eyes, for we see with our eyes, but nevertheless, if we allow that light to be dimmed, then we begin to walk in darkness. And you know, when you walk in darkness at night, you don't see where you're going. This is very true spiritually. You begin to walk spiritually dark. You can see, oh yes, you can see, walk down here in the aisles in front of you and wherever you're going. But spiritually, you become blinded. And we have to be careful that we do not become spiritually blinded as well. And when we do not follow that which the Lord has given, thinking that we can go the other way, we become spiritually blinded. Luke in here has a reference or two that I would like to refer to. In the 14th chapter of Luke, beginning on verse 16. Then said he unto him, certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and set his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came, shewed his lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and halt, and blind. I think this is a very typical situation here. Here we have a kind of a parable, if you want to refer to it in that way. We can apply it to ourselves here. We can watch and look around. As he says here, when the Lord calls, the people say, well, Lord, I've got my car to work on. I got to go clean it up. I got to go out fishing for this weekend, Saturday. We've got all kinds of excuses not to do what the Lord would have us to do. And so we say, well, Lord, another day, another time, and I'll be ready. It's very easy to procrastinate. And when we procrastinate, we put off doing today what we should. Oh, let's do it tomorrow. But you know, you don't have tomorrow to do it in. You just think you do. All you got is now. You can't redo what was done this morning. Neither can you redo tomorrow if you get there. So we should take care of what is here now. Many of them here thought they had nice excuses. And we, in our walk of life, think that we have many excuses that are valid and good. And so we put off doing those things that we should. We procrastinate. We make excuses. And it's sad to see that this takes place. I think everybody is guilty of this. I don't think there's a one here that has not put off things and made excuses for some things. I think of that dream I just related that somebody had. We put things off too long, the Lord, He passes us by. We put off things and we have set our eyesight on other things. And then we sometimes run into a great conflict of interest. In the 13th chapter here, right next to Luke here in the 13th chapter. Verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. This is the way the Lord is. He is ever loving towards His people. He don't like necessarily our corrupt ways. But nevertheless, if we turn away from Him, He is ever ready to help us along the way. He would gather us as a hen gathers the chicken. There are little chicks. You ever seen a hawk fly around over a hen with her little chicks? Why, she'll cackle after them. She'll spread her wings and she will defend them with everything she's got. Jesus will do the same. He will spread His wings and protect us in like manner, just as that hen would protect her little chickens. But you know, if you take that little chicken that won't come when its mother's called, it's got to look into the ways of the world out there. It's a brave little fella, and so it goes wandering away, and well, something happens to that little fella. So it is with those that will not give heed to the words of the Lord's people. They set their desires upon the things of the world, and they get lost along the way. Page 717 here, Book of Mormon. I will read here several verses, beginning with 27. I'll start. Came to pass that the Lord did go before them and did talk with them as He stood in a cloud and gave directions whether they should travel. Now, wouldn't this be a nice situation to have here for us and our guide from day to day? It would. And it came to pass that they did travel in the wilderness, did build barges, in which they did cross many waters, being directed continually by the hand of the Lord. The Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but He would that they should come forth even unto the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. Here He was leading those that He loved, that was willing to keep His commandments. He was going to bless them. He was going to take them to a promised land, which was a choice land. You think He would have done that for the other people? Facts speak for themselves. He would not, but only to those that will keep His commandments and will be faithful to Him. And He had sworn in His wrath unto the brother Jared that whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon him. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land. That is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation should possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come. We have two examples before us of what have happened to two great nations because they would not follow what the Lord gave them to do. They were destroyed. This nation was destroyed to the last individual. The others were destroyed and scattered. And we see them out in the world today, known as the Indians. We can be scattered just as easily if we don't heed what the Lord will give us to do. If we don't follow his commandments as he has given, to love thy neighbor as thyself, then we get scattered by walking out this way or that little chick that wandered away and wouldn't follow the heed of its mother that was there to protect it. You get lost. And this is the way that can be for us just as well. We can wander off and we can be lost just as well. Page 724, verse 103, and at my command the heavens are open and are shut, and at my word the earth shall shake, and at my command the inhabitants thereof shall pass away, even so as by fire. That says a whole lot there in just a few words. I don't know if we actually comprehend all that the Lord has had written right here in that little verse. The earth shall shake. They've had quite a number of earthquakes within the last few years. They've had one here just recently, South America, that blew up and took away a whole city, approximately 25,000 souls with it. The Lord says, the earth shall shake at my command. Notice, at my command, the earth shall shake. That volcano shook, and we see the results that took place there. This nation experienced quite a great loss of damage here this last fall. Not in the recorded history of this country, has four hurricanes hit this nation there on the eastern seaboard as it has done this year. It has done damage beyond measure. The Lord is calling. Who will hear? Many will not, and they'll be lost along the way. The Lord is in command of these things. He has spoken and said, you shall keep my commandments. If you do not, in the fullness of my wrath, you shall be swept off. That doesn't excuse anybody if they will not keep his commandments. Think of the devastation that happens there. Think of the anguish of souls that have lost their loved ones. It is very tragic and needless not take place. But yet these things are just a forerunner of what will take place. You're just beginning to look at the tribulations and hardship of some of the things that's going to take place. Moses, when he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, because they wouldn't be faithful unto the Lord, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. It just shows you how the Lord is in command of things. We might want to think that Mother Nature is. We can look at it and speak of it that way. There was only two that enter into that promised land. And yet they claim there was approximately 3 million that come out of Egypt. And yet those that were 20 and above, only two entered into his rest there in that land of promise that he said they could have. Can you feature that? Just two. All of those that were 20 and under were able to go in, because they says, oh, these people will destroy us. They will knock our children down. They will hurt them. They will kill them. They had excuses. A little bit like that great supper. Oh, Lord, I've got many things I've got to do. Different time, different scene, the same situation. Doesn't seem to change along the way. The Lord is in command of the elements of this earth. These volcanoes that are beginning to spew forth their destruction and their might, these tornadoes that are beginning to go around, are but a show of the Lord's power. He is in command of these things, and he has spoken. We should be very careful there that we might not enter into his rest either, if we keep not his commandments as he has commanded. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we don't do that, all will not be well. On page 221, verse 18, I would read a verse or two. That's on page 220, by the way. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your soul, even so, I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. And this is the way it is. We are, everything that we have, we can thank him for. This breath of air that we take, we can actually thank him for, and yet we are nothing before him, really. For we come into this world with nothing, and we take nothing out. If the Lord decrees, then we shall not have anything. Humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily. The Lord loves a people with a humble heart. A humbleness of heart typifies an individual with charity there as well. I don't think you're going to find a person that is humble without the other. And standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come. These things kind of all work together. Faith, you must have faith. You must have humbleness of heart. You must have that charity there. There are many things that go together. Put on the armor of God. And standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angels. Behold, I say unto you, if you do this, you shall always rejoice, and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And you shall grow in knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. You will not have a mind to injure one another. We see people that are fighting today around the world because of that lack of love that they have one for another. Somebody wants something that somebody else has, so the others defend themselves, and then we have war. You will not have a mind to injure one another. You know, when we have a mind to injure one another, we sure cannot say that God is our author. But who is our author? Satan is our author when we have a mind to injure a brother or sister. And this is a kind of a tragic thing to see people that injure one another. But to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is his due, to live peaceably one with another, to follow after that which is righteous. Page 56, verse 122. I think this is rather a nice verse. He that is righteous is favored of God. I don't think if anybody has read these scriptures with an understanding heart can deny that statement. He that is righteous is favored of God. We only have to look in the scriptures and see those that kept the commandments of the Lord, how they were favored. The Lord blessed them spiritually and temporally. Let's look at that faithful little Job. I don't know whether I could have accomplished what that gentleman done, but he was faithful to the Lord. And look what he received after all that trial. We will travel back to Romans here again. Back to the 13th chapter. Back almost about where we started. In the 10th verse. I think it's a lovely little verse. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. It means just what it says. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. As Jesus spoke to his people there in John, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you love me, then my Father and me will make my abode with you. The night is far spent. Let us not tarry, but let us be diligent unto the Lord in keeping his commandments. And let that love and compassion and kindness rule within our hearts. That will conclude that. There is a couple of announcements that need to be made. Bob Bailey has asked and requested that we remember him in our prayers, for he needs help and would like to have some direction in the jobs that has been offered. We don't know at this time what to do. There is one that would be at Phoenix working with our optical company, and there would be gone apparently a considerable part of the time from here, but he wouldn't be, I guess, moving. I don't know. But he would like to know if he should take that. There is one that he's looking at in Denver as well. And he would like to have us to remember him in our prayers, that he may have some guidance there with the Lord. There has also been a request made that Marvin Ely report on the Phoenix reunion. I'm wondering just when you as a group would like to hear him bring us up to date on that. Would you like to meet next Sunday evening after church service, or would you rather have some other time, or what would you be your desires here? Harvey? Well, whatever the group desires. Jeannie? He likes to see it Wednesday evening at 7. What is the other thoughts here?
I like Jeannie's suggestion.
Well, if there's no objections, anybody object to that, of having it Wednesday evening then at 7 o'clock? Well, I guess, Marvin, you will have the opportunity of talking to us Wednesday evening then at 7 o'clock.
Let's close with number 42. 42. So is that.